Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The show! Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, we are Afternoon Drive, and this is a Football Friday. This is an F-Off Friday. That opened courtesy of Mac Robinson on the board. Yes, we've got Jake Murren doing the producing, taking care of the YouTube duties as well. The milkman, Anthony Alland, what will be his final delivery on this show for quite a while today. We appreciate that. We got big news to get to. We got so much to get to. Brown Steelers, Football Friday, FL Friday. I will start the show just by saying, I'm not gonna belabor this. I'm not gonna make a big deal. I'm doing today's show under duress.
Under duress?
Yep. Yep. I don't want to talk about it right now. I know we got to get into Brown Steelers 5.5-point line, but
you want to talk about it now.
There are things that have happened at this station that will not be ignored.
You didn't even say hi to me. You just said you're in duress. When you're under that much duress, you have to talk about it now.
No. You got big quarterback news to get to. I will say that there are people at this station that it's a one-way road at, and that this will be addressed today at some point, just not right now.
I got to tell the listeners right now, you're in a pick-a-fight mood today.
You're not wrong, but
and
not
so
right now. Not at this moment.
I feel like since you're in a pick-a-fight mood, I feel like whoever you're picking a fight with is going to really feel the wrath.
We got Miles versus TJ. But there are people at this station, at this cluster.
Is there anyone in the room? Is it me?
I don't believe it is.
Is it Mac?
I don't believe it is. But again,
I'm trying to figure out what have I done over the previous hour and a half?
At 3:40 today, we will be talking about this, and we will be exposing something that has happened to this station that is a microcosm of the problems in America, but not right now.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say it's not nearly as big of a deal as Nick thinks it is. That's my prediction for this one. I'm preemptively siding with whoever you're picking the fight with, because when you're in a pick a fight mood, the littlest thing sets you off. And I got a feeling this one's not a very big thing.
I'll be honest with you. You're on the right side of history so often, you're allowed to be on the wrong side of history this one time.
Okay, we'll find out. I guess what did we say? 3 o'clock?
3:40.
3:40. Yeah,
3:40.
Okay, we'll find out.
Truths will be told. And things will be exposed about this station. Not right now,
about the station.
Because right now, about the culture at this in this cluster, it Jeez. Has to be addressed.
You're maybe check my work email for the first time in like 57 days?
We'll have to see.
Did I miss an email or something?
I'm not talking about it right now. I'm just doing the show under duress. I got many things on my mind. At 3:40, you're going to hear it. Because we got to talk about Shador's the backup. Come on.
Shador is the backup.
Good for me. Good for the Shahid.
Good for everybody.
Good for the Shahid.
Not really. Well, in many ways, it's good, yes, and that common sense prevailed. That's nice. That's a good sign. I bad on all the people that all week long believe that it would be Bailey Zappe. What have we known about Stefanski and Andrew Berry this entire time, right? What have we known? They love messing with the media, all the way down to the idea that Andrew Berry, until the draft day, had everybody swerved into what he was going to do with draft day plans. Like, the man loves to mess with people. The two of them collectively love to mess with people. And I'm convinced he just spent the entire 4 days watching people get as angry as they possibly could get angry because they thought common sense wasn't going to prevail. And here we are with common sense prevailing. It was all a bit, and we are the people that obviously face the repercussions of that for seeming like we're idiots.
Now, I will say, I think you're onto something right there. Credit where credit is due. Deshaun does not sound like he's the third quarterback this week, which would have been my bigger gripe. Bailey Zappe is not quarterback number two. You passed the most basic and obvious test that there possibly was in the universe. You made Shador the backup. Good for you guys.
Yeah, which
here's a nice participation trophy. Here's a little ribbon. It's blue.
still doesn't do anything.
You make it brown or orange.
Well,
what
it's still, it still doesn't actually accomplish anything if you're trying to have Shador prove that he is the quarterback that many people believe that he is.
Oh, it means I'm not one play away from Bailey Zappe playing. Trust me, that is an accomplishment for me on a Friday.
Dylan Gabriel, the runway's still yours. You have all the fate in the world to keep Shador off the field if you want to. You just have to play really well now. That's the thing. You have to keep playing really well. I will say I agree with Baskin in the idea that Dylan Gabriel's seat got warmer with this decision. But at that point, I would say, okay, yeah, you have to do what you have to do if you're Stefanski, though.
I mean, I think the only way Dylan Gabriel's seat gets warmer is if Kevin Stefanski gets fired or if Dylan Gabriel goes from, was that fine? Was it really good? Was it acceptable to, oh my God, it's Joe Flacco 2.0.
I mean, I think if he starts to struggle, I don't even think he gets a half in the Steelers game before all of a sudden social media melts down with chants for Shador, with get Shador out there, everything else. I think that's kind of what Stefanski was hoping to avoid, but you can't possibly have put Bailey Zappe back there and said that we're giving Shador a real chance here.
I just don't know if this means the Browns have given Shador enough practice time to earn this. I would like to know the process of it.
That's the other part that's interesting, right? Like, so You held him and Bailey Zappe on a completely different field than what Dylan Gabriel was on Wednesday, and you sold it under the idea of, like, well, we can't make up a decision, we got to do all this and that. Like, Shador could have been getting legitimate backup reps in that practice. Like, you didn't do the best thing for him. You stuck him with the practice squad players. That's not great.
Maybe this is a loaded word that I'm about to use. I think Shador being named the backup this week on a Friday, on a football Friday, on an NFL Friday, I think this is a culmination of negotiations that have been going on since the second you traded Joe Flacco. I don't buy to the people who say, well, I haven't checked in there in a couple weeks, but I'm pretty sure everything's copacetic between Kevin and AB. I think there is pressure there. I think Kevin's feeling the pressure more than anyone. I don't think he believes in Shador the same way he believes in Dylan. That doesn't mean he doesn't believe in him at all. And I think this is a conciliation by Kevin. And what I'd really love to know is, what does he get out of it? Because I do think both Kevin and Andrew are smart enough to think that way, especially with the ownership they have above them.
Yeah, I don't know what Kevin gets out of it, but what I do know is that the people that are trying to turn this into a win for Shador or something, Shador himself would tell you this isn't the win. You're a backup quarterback.
This is more of a win than being the third string quarterback.
Yes, but in the grand scheme of things, congratulations, you're the backup quarterback. If you would have told Shador that, 3 weeks prior to the draft, he would have laughed you off the planet. Said, "What happened to my life? How did I get here? Where did it all go wrong?" Like, this is still far, far away from any sort of win for Shador.
I mean, I think that's the kind of thing. Like, that's the kind of thinking that I think is like, it's not about where you expected to be. It's about where you are and where you've come from. And I do think Shador being elevated to the backup quarterback, even if it was machinery that happened around him, or machinations is the word I was looking for. I do think that this is some level of an accomplishment. I know it's not the ultimate accomplishment. They could have run Bailey Zappe out there this week. I don't think we should deny that. It's counter logic, but I don't think Kevin is thinking that way. I think Kevin's thinking about what he likes. And
well, maybe Kevin's eyes just got opened up to the idea that if Dylan does stink, he's got to have Shador ready to go, because Shador is the only opportunity he has to keep his job if in fact something does happen to Dylan Gabriel. And do you think the Giants game last night influenced this at all?
No.
Jackson Dart, a quarterback that was routinely told by every pundit that he was worse than Shador Sanders, came out there and looked awesome immediately for the Giants. Maybe he's looking at it like, oh, maybe I underscored the value of what these quarterbacks can do just right out of the rip entering the NFL.
I don't think this is how this is actually to their credit. I don't think this is how they react. I don't think they do a lot of reactionary to the rest of the NFL.
Because I do think there's coaches around the NFL. I agree with you, but I think there are coaches around the NFL that would look at last night, and if they had one of the drafted quarterbacks, would say to themselves, oh, yeah, wow, Jackson Dart really did get that right away, didn't he?
Oh, I 100% agree. There are, and by the way, it's not even just, now if you asked, is Jimmy Haslam thinking that way? That I cannot speak to. Because that feels like a overreactionary, too involved owner mentality. But from Kevin and Andrew, I do give them the credit that even if this was a politically bargained or collectively bargained decision, in the end, I don't think it had anything to do with anything other than the dynamics in Berea. And I think it's interesting. Like, I think the Shador discourse has always been heightened. It's always been more interesting. But Yeah, I mean, there is going to be a segment of people watching on Sunday wondering, are we going to see Shador? I think that's what it is. So we've talked about, is it a win for Shador, this, that, and the other?
Yeah.
I do think it's now the idea of credible threat. Previously, it would have taken two quarterback injuries for you to get in as the emergency quarterback. Now it takes one, and I think that's something that I think a fair amount of the Shador fans can, I don't want to say take excitement on or anything, but like, yeah, there, it actually feels a lot more likely Shador could be in a game within the next couple weeks simply because he is your backup.
I mean, I just keep following, and maybe it's not great to be as in line with the thinking of Jimmy Haslam as often as I appear to be in these Shador Sanders discussions, because it's not like Haslam's got a track record of making great decisions. But in this, when Haslam said you're going to see both rookie quarterbacks, that's I believe him. I believe that that's his thought. But like you said it like as if it should be political or as if it could be political. If Kevin Stefanski needs to make this as some sort of like concession to play Shador as the backup, then we got a big problem anyway, because that means he doesn't believe in Shador to begin with. And that means that even if Shador does end up getting the job, Stefanski's doing it with a quarterback he doesn't want to have out there. And it also means Stefanski can't see the positives that Shador can offer up for him, and there's a blind spot there that we have to address as well.
I don't think it's like a glass half full or glass empty thing. I just think if we talk about the two glasses, Kevin's belief in Dylan and Kevin's belief in Shador, I think one is considerably more full than the other.
I agree with that. He likes Dylan Gabriel more. He's told us every way. That's like the big synopsis on all this is like the idea that he told you he likes Joe Flacco more than Shador. He likes Dylan Gabriel more than Shador. It's up to Joe Flacco, who's already achieved the job of not living up to the expectations Stefanski had for him. And then it's up to Dylan Gabriel to either do what Joe Flacco did and not live up to that, or go the other direction and actually prove Stefanski right.
We do have a few Dylan Gabriel conversations to have today, as there's a big opportunity for him on Sunday. Of course, we got Brown Steelers as well. But Shador is the backup. Is this the win that you Shador fans have been looking for out there? Or does it still feel like a half measure from the Cleveland Browns? We got Brown Steelers to get into. We've got to react to Thursday Night Football. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Jason Pinkston, our buddy, former Browns offensive lineman, does live in Pittsburgh, grew up there. Yeah, we'll get his take on Brown Steelers on Sunday. We've also got Brian Batko, Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at 4. And we got Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock today. But 216-474-0092, is this the win? Do you feel like this is a win as a Browns fan that Shador has been elevated to the number two quarterback spot? I will say it feels like more of a win because I don't have to watch Bailey on Sunday. But the Browns, Shador, and living in their own fears. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin breaking down the big news of the day. We got Steelers, Browns on Sunday. Shador is the backup. We got quick hits coming up in just about 20 minutes. We do have Super Chat. You guys know you cannot just listen to us on 92.3 The Fan over the airwaves, but the free Odyssey app. You can also watch along on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. We continue to throw there out. We got Super Chat already.
I thought all chats were super chats.
Well, no. The chat in general, because it's for 92.3 The Fan, that's a super chat. But then there's the super chat of people paying to bump their messaging up.
You can tell I've gotten confused in the past couple days now.
I think most people are. I just want everyone to know you're super to me. Disciple saying, any given Sunday, Shador, Stefanski. Okay, so he's saying Shador is Willie Beeman and Stefanski's Al Pacino. No. He added an extra no on Al Pacino.
Yeah, that Gepino, sometimes happens. No. Yeah, sometimes. That's his brother. No. That's Al's brother, actually.
That's true. Or that'd be Stu Pacino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pacino, no.
Now, all this being said, the funny thing is, it's going to be an interesting game on Sunday. I don't know it's going to be a fun game, but this should be an interesting game on Sunday. The only way to add a little more chaos to the Browns coming off London, the Steelers coming off bye, the Steelers having Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, the TJ Watt, Myles Garrett kerfuffle, DK Metcalf's crazy, he's in this game, Jerry Jeudy guaranteed at least one drop. The only way to put sprinkle just a little bit more drama on this game is the idea that at any point Shador could come in for a series, for a play, or the rest of the game if something happened to Dylan Gabriel.
Now, I would ask you this. Are you rooting for something to happen where you see a scenario where Shador gets ushered in, even if a healthy Dylan Gabriel is there, as if they maybe combo it up a little bit, maybe a little wrinkle from Stefanski?
No, I hate any time we do tandem stuff. This goes back to the premise of the left tackle spot. Mm-hmm. When I see coaching staffs in the NFL run out like a tandem left tackle spot, I assume you don't want to win. It's just counter logic, at least okay. Not on the defensive line, but on the offensive line. That is one of the toughest spots to play, and continuity is so important to having the same five guys out there. I feel the same way about quarterback. Like, there are certain spots you can just swap kids in and out or swap players in and out on. Quarterback and offensive line are probably the two that it's like, please don't. Just mm-hmm. let them alone and let them do their job and get comfortable.
If everything goes right, Dylan Gabriel plays start to finish on Sunday. That's got to be the goal. The goal is for Dylan Gabriel to be the only quarterback that you see. It was funny what you said like earlier last segment. It's like, oh, another wrinkle in there where you got Shador. And I'm like, I don't think Shador is going to see the field at all. And so I've made my watching for this week and really until the foreseeable future around the idea that Dylan Gabriel is the starting quarterback, and that is what it is.
Is that setting the expectations low so that if it happens, you can then just be excited?
No, I'm going to give Dylan Gabriel the chance to win the job, and I'm going to give Stefanski the chance to prove us why he thinks he's right in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's right. I think Shador's a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel. I've been vocal about that, but like the bet that Shador has made is that Dylan's the better quarterback. I'm going to give Stefanski the chance to go ahead and prove me wrong and show me that he's right.
I think that's what's been interesting when we've talked about the handling of Dylan or the handling of Shador or the handling of the four-way quarterback battle. You know, one out of every 20 responses is, well, I mean, they're pretty close to the situation. They know what they're doing, as if there aren't teams that screw these kind of decisions up, as if the Browns have earned that sort of benefit of the doubt, and as if it's just as simple as, well, who's the best player? They're going to go play. It's like, that's just not how the NFL works. That's like the idea that all teams are trying to win at every single moment. It's like, no, they are early in the season, but mm-hmm. you know, other factors come into play as the season goes on. Same thing with the quarterback position. There are so many different ways that guys can play for so many different reasons. And listen, I think if anything, what drafting two quarterbacks and then trading for another two quarterbacks has proven is just how complicated quarterback dynamics are for an organization. Because again, I don't think we get to Dylan Gabriel starting as a simple Kevin Stefanski woke up and decreed it. I don't think we get to Shador as the backup because, well,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The doors just look better in practice. I think he has looked better in practice because he's going against Bailey Zappi. But I think we act like play in practice is the only thing that matters. It's like, it's the NFL. There's a lot of politics here. And I do mm-hmm. think, like, I think Shador's the backup in spite of those politics.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a good thing that common sense prevailed today and Shador gets to be the backup quarterback, so he's one quarterback away. But ultimately, as a Browns fan, you got to be sitting here just thinking to yourself, like, this is all for Dylan Gabriel. It's right there. Like, you hold the keys to really Shador's rookie season in many ways. Like, if you continue to play like you did last week, and if they continue to get wins off of that, or if they start getting wins off of that what we call an acceptable play, the runway is yours. And, like, I don't know why... If you look good and you make Stefanski look good in the process, he's got no reason to move off of that.
So I think, you know, I'm not here to tell you that wins and losses are how we grade quarterbacks long term. But I'm saying for the quarterback situation to remain what it is right now, barring health issues, barring anything else, yes, Dylan has to continue to look functional. The offense does need to show progress, by the way. But the number one thing is, you know, to the idea of Dylan could feel any more heat because Shador's behind him. I'm sure there's probably part of that because it's the NFL, and I think Dylan is very cognizant of how Shador is viewed, the faithful Shador fans. Dude, I'm sorry. Just win the damn games.
You got to win the games.
You win the damn games, and but everything else is negotiable. Take care of itself.
Yeah, but the part I want to speak on, though, that it just kind of bothers me a little bit, and it might surprise you, is the idea that I want Dylan, once you went with him, I want him to have an actual opportunity. Like, I think it's miserable if in two games you're just like, Dylan Gabriel stinks, Dylan Gabriel can't play. We obviously know that this isn't good, especially after week one, which was not a bad week by any stretch of the measure. And then you just wave the white flag on the young man's career. Like, any other rookie would get more than two games to try to prove themselves, two or even three games to try to prove themselves. Most rookies get a long, long runway before anyone declares one thing or another. But in the situation the Browns have put themselves in, it almost feels like it's inevitable that the moment that Dylan Gabriel starts to, you know, stumble a little bit, he's not going to have that same runway that, honestly, if the roles were reversed and it was Shador, I would want for Shador.
So the only thing I'll say is, if it's number one picks or first round picks or even early second round picks, yes. I don't think third or fifth round picks should have much of a runway. Not in terms of, are you winning?
Well, I'm just asking to get to three or four games. I'm not asking for the world. Like at what point do we start just completely... Because here's the thing. The spirals really quickly if you're saying because you're a third-round pick, two games in, if you're at the second game, you just struggle and stink, I'm just getting rid of you.
No, I don't think it's that.
You're through like seven quarterbacks
in
the season.
I think it's if you crater, you just don't owe Dylan what the Giants owe Jackson Dart. Right? You don't owe Dylan what certainly the Titans owe Cam Moore.
I guess I've taken Crater off the table with Dylan only because last week he didn't come anywhere close to cratering. So do I need to put cratering back on the table?
I think this is a really tough game for him. I think that's a really good defense. It gets a lot more pressure. They're going to be able to get in the backfield a lot more. Unless,
the Vikings defense is one of the better rated defenses in the NFL so far this year.
It is, but they don't... Because Van Ginkle's out, because they got a couple other injuries. Like, it was you know, John Grenard and then a couple other... They're stacked. They're stacked at pass rushers. And it's not just that. It's your second game, so there's real tape on you. It's your second game that's coming off the London game. I think this is a really tough ask of Dylan to go on the road and get this win. It really is. And it doesn't mean he won't
do
it.
For sure it is.
It doesn't mean we can't hope for it. But, like, yeah, I mean, I think if there was going to be a Dylan has the, oh my God, this looks really bad game, this should be it.
I guess, but how they had him operating in game one that he played, it just kind of, it almost feels like it's crater proof where he just didn't throw the ball down the field much. And he just kind of, you know, it's a lot of dink and dunk in many ways. Like, it's passes that I know that he can complete. Now, maybe he just starts to have interceptions creep in. Steelers, they create a ton of turnovers, ton of takeaways. Maybe that's what it ends up being, but I don't look at Dylan as somebody that's just going to crater.
Trevor with a super chat on YouTube. The clock has started for Gabriel. Hope for the best. I mean, I think the clock has started on all of them. The clock started the second that you made the trade for the number two pick that allowed you to get a future first. Like, the Browns signaled their hand. And then basically, Dylan and Shador, I don't want to call them hedge bets because that feels, but like, yeah, they were like, hey, we're going to do this unless somebody pulls the sword from the stone.
Yeah, but why I think Dylan's got a longer runway in the scenario is because it is much more a reflection of Stefanski, Dylan Gabriel is, than Shador Sanders is. We know how Stefanski feels towards Dylan, and we know not only the comments he's made, but how this has been perceived the entire time. Like, he believes in Dylan more, and he believes that he can get his talent with Dylan out. And so if you're not able to there and you have to go to Shador, listen, I want to watch Shador play, but like, that is a reflection of you, Stefanski.
Paul also saying on the old super chat there, you guys weren't paying attention in training camp. He's a backup at best. He's going to keep you in it, but he's nothing special. Yeah, I mean, I think that's most people's takeaway on Dylan, but this opportunity is the opportunity to show that he's more than that.
Right, we're just saying, or at least I'm just saying, yeah, just show us, Stefanski, prove us that you believe in Dylan Gabriel and you're right about Dylan Gabriel.
And it's interesting, like, I think this is a really tough game to have any expectation for any quarterback. If Joe Flacco was in this game, this would be the sixth game he would have played this year. I'd probably have diminished expectations for Joe On top of the fact, by the way, I still don't have enough evidence that your offense is anywhere close to hitting the ground running and hitting the hitting the notes you need to be in games like this.
I know, but then again, and I don't want to make this all about the Giants last night because we'll get to them in the 3 o'clock hour. But what happened last night? They're without Malik Nabers. They're without Darius Slayton. They have the top two wide receivers gone. They have half of a offensive line, and it didn't matter for Jackson Dart. Like some quarterbacks, it doesn't really matter what's around them. They'll make things happen. Dart and Scadaboo did that last night. Like, sorry, Dylan. I know it's not a great spot to put you in, but other quarterbacks across the NFL are doing it right now.
Now, the question becomes, is naming Shador the backup a vote of confidence? I will say, I mean, I think if... Even if I think it was collectively bargained, even if I think it was a chip for Stefanski to use, I don't know what he would have been going for across the board. But like, even if that's true, yes, I do think this is the vote of confidence in the same way that if they came out this week and opened up the playbook for Dylan, that would be a vote of confidence as well, right?
No.
And
I'm not either.
I think at some point they have to do it. But here's the problem with that with Dylan. I don't think you open up a playbook for Dylan because I don't think he's the guy that's going to throw down the field consistently. I think the guy that's going to throw at least to the mid-range consistently is the guy that's backing him up.
Agreed. That's why I think a lot of fans want to see Shador out there. But it's one of those things. The heavy bet for Stefanski, where he has pushed his chips in the middle of the table, is not with Shador Sanders. Let's go remind ourselves that. It's not with Shador. It's with Dylan. So Dylan's going to have a longer runway there because of that. And Dylan's going to be more of a reflection of what we think Kevin Stefanski can do as a coach than even Shador is.
I do want to push quick hits here because I think we're having some good conversations on this. 216-474-0092. I think Dylan's seat is hot because he's a third-round pick, and there is the perception of him around the NFL as more of a backup than a starter. And because it's the NFL, and I think Dylan is probably smart enough to know how the league works. I do think just by being in the same quarterback room that Shador just naturally makes it hotter because there's a lot of noise that comes with Shador. But I don't like... It's interesting. Like, I think Dylan's seat gets hot when Dylan plays poorly or they lose too much. Like, I think Dylan's at a real advantage here over Shador because everything we've talked about with Stefanski. 216-474-0092. We're going to push quick hits. Are the Browns living in their own fears with Shador? We'll come up with that in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Don't be afraid to hop over there on the YouTube channel. Our buddy Joe Murr has told us about it. I was like, come on, join us on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Get in the chat if you will. And we, of course, are talking about the news of the day. Shador is going to be the backup quarterback. And with that... Jason Lloyd went on the Scoop City podcast, usually with Diana Rossini. I think today the host, this time I think James Palmer was the host.
Diana.
Diana. Hopefully
Diana. Chase was there. Hopefully, Diana, what are we doing?
Hopefully Chase was there.
I work at a different network now, Diana.
Oh, that's right. Is he still on the pod? No, I don't even know.
No, I think he's been off the pod for a while now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought you were like a big Diana Rossini stan.
Yeah, I kind of stopped listening because of Chase Daniel.
That's unfortunate.
I haven't listened to in 6 weeks because he just...
Diana!
I think he's
Diana,
gone.
What are we doing?
Well, now I'm going to have to start listening again. Yeah. Good news for me.
Your show's back.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Maron's retiring from his podcast, so I've lost that one. Bring a new podcast right into it. But Jason was on the Scoop City podcast talking about the Browns' fears about Shador Sanders.
He's extremely likable, but he just casts this shadow over everything. I honestly, I'm not trying to be dramatic with this. I don't see any other alternative. Either ownership is pushing this on them, which is not entirely out of the question, or they are so afraid of having another Baker Mayfield situation blow up on him. He's not good enough to promote, but they're scared of what he may become 2 or 3 years from now. So they're just going to hold on to him and keep him on the 53.
That's incredible.
There was a lot there.
There was a lot there.
There was a lot.
I cannot wrap my head around the idea of we're afraid he's going to become another Baker Mayfield because that means you didn't learn the damn lesson of Baker Mayfield, which is who gives a rat's butt cheeks what the guy says into a microphone if he's good enough to win with in the NFL. How about you just put him on the field and let him do it?
Oh, you see, I thought it was something different. You're probably right in your assessment. My bird brain took it to a different way. I thought he was talking about if he becomes another Baker Mayfield, like he was 10th to 15th in the class, and they didn't know, should they pay him? Should they not pay him? What are they? And now, obviously, hindsight shows us they should have just paid him and then just built the team around Baker, and you probably would have had a lot of success. But at the time, they thought in the AFC North, you couldn't win that way.
I just find it
with a 10 to 15 quarterback.
I just find it incredibly ironic that you would have moved on from Baker with that logic 3 years ago, and then you took the lowest ceiling quarterback in the draft with Dylan Gabriel. There's some galaxy brain stuff that goes on sometimes, but like the idea that this organization would be afraid of what? Like casting a shadow how does that matter? I don't understand being afraid of big personalities. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And they do seem to be allergic at that, not at wide receiver, because Jerry Jeudy is certainly a big David Njoku, another big personality.
Myles Garrett, about as big as it gets.
Myles Garrett. They've had Jadeveon Clowney.
David Njoku.
Like there's countless guys.
You got personalities.
But like at the quarterback spot, who cares? Who gives a rip what shadow a guy casts? Can he play football? Why is that not like... And again, I understand. I'll be honest with you. When I hear afraid of the shadow that Shador casts, can I tell you 100% who I think it is? I think it's Kevin.
Well, it sounds like Kevin.
I just don't.
Because Kevin and Baker clashed in that regard, and it seems like Kevin wants everyone to be the quarterback that he took the NFC title game in Case Keenum.
This idea of living in your fears. Like, you brought in guys who are accused of some really rough stuff. Not more so than Deshaun Watson. But because he comes out in the media and goes, hey, you know, you live to fight another down, that's better?
Yeah, like, it's
what,
dumb.
Like
it's
what dumb. What kind of mental gymnastics does it take to be like, you know, listen, Deshaun's been accused of some things. He's being sued for some things off the field. All right? And those are problematic. But when he gets in that quarterback room, he just says yes, sir, no, sir. What the hell are we talking about?
You would have thought that they would be swerving into trying to find almost what is the next Baker. In many ways, like, all right, we got it wrong there. Now maybe we can learn from that lesson and we can get it right in the future. And obviously, Jason's making the suggestion that that's not really the case here.
I just think it's weird that you can overcome deficits in personality, in off the field issues, in every other position but the quarterback position. Which that's again why it leads me to believe this is about the head coach. And I just think like. I don't know how Kevin Stefanski expects to exist in the NFL in a world where the only quarterbacks you can coach are the blandest personalities like Timu Tua.
You got to be Ned Flanders. You got to have Kirk Cousins come on down, which makes it a surprise they didn't actually trade for Kirk Cousins if this is the kind of quarterback that they want.
And like this, and by the way, again, this would 100% continue to point to the fact that it was not Kevin who drafted Shador. And that it was, in my opinion, it's still Andrew Berry.
I don't think we need any more evidence to even point in that direction, do we? Like, I mean, like all we're doing is compiling at this point because it's been so obvious from Jump Street that he had nothing to do with Shador based off of the decisions that he continues to make. Congratulations. Even if Shador plays, let's say, 3 weeks from now, you're the third quarterback that'll play this year. That's not really.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Much belief in you, you're the third off the board.
To me, it's not even about Shador. This is about Kevin. It's like, I listen, I know Andrew Berry was the express, he was conductor number one on the, we're not going to pay Baker Mayfield and we got to go get Deshaun Watson, right? I know he he probably, not probably, I believe he, the reporting is correct that he progenated the idea, and then he got Kevin on board, and once Kevin was on board, then they went to Jimmy Haslam. But I think Kevin was on board because he just couldn't handle the personality of Baker Mayfield, and it's like, I don't get it. Like, I've met so many football coaches of so many different personalities. Greg Williams.
Yeah.
I haven't met Greg, but I know of Greg, right?
I've met Greg.
Ron Rivera, who I've met. I've met Matt Rule. I've met, and just, they're so good at coaching everyone. And the idea that there'd be one position you'd have that you're afraid, guys, we would be the luckiest you-know-whats on the planet. If I'm talking to the exact letter of the law, if Shador became Baker Mayfield, if he came with the circus, and by the way, he just doesn't come with like the anchor of Baker. I think the biggest problem with Baker behind the scenes is he get really grumpy at people. It doesn't seem to be this kid at all.
I'm trying to think of all the quarterbacks you would take off the board instantly for Kevin Stefanski. Like any sort of prior, any sort of it, you know, it's like half the league. I can't stop coming up with different names in my. I started with Dak, and I just kept going down the list in my head, and it's like there's so many different quarterbacks that you have that Stefanski just. So all right, so Stefanski's got the parameters for Stefanski is not only do you have to be a choir boy, you have to be this great, upstanding model citizen in bed by 9 o'clock,
don't
and all these
TikTok.
Other things. Yeah, which by the way, Dylan Gabriel, I've seen you on TikTok. I've seen you. I've seen him and his fiance on TikTok
well,
together.
That's his girlfriend's TikTok. That's
because it's not as popular. I guess it doesn't matter.
It's
neither here nor there. But like, yeah, so you have to be this just cut and dry person. You're taking out three quarters of the league.
Just,
when it's all said and done.
So what,
well, also then you also can't throw the ball deep too. Apparently, that's the other part that he doesn't want you to do.
So is there
you have to be a check down Charlie, an A dot, basically anemic to A dot in general, and then you also have to be a choir boy. Like you're getting like three guys in 10 years to be able to do that.
I clearly have just reacted to the Browns are afraid. Kevin Stefanski is afraid that that Shador will turn into another Baker with all that entails. Is there anything I'm missing from that point? Because you mentioned it. There was a lot in there, and most of it was like head scratching, like, what are we doing? Because Jason also wrote the piece, and we didn't get to it yesterday, because we were still waiting for this decision on who's going to be the backup. And again, Shador's the backup on Sunday. Dylan's going to obviously continue to be the starter. But like Jason Lloyd yesterday writing the piece, they should just move on from him. That's the part of the Shador discourse that's like, guys, I'm rooted in whoever is the Browns quarterback succeeding. This week, that's Dylan Gabriel. Let's get it, baby. Let's get it, Timu Tua, right? When it becomes Shador, it's going to be Shador, right? If it's Bailey freaking Zappi, it's going to be Bailey Zappi. But this idea that we're 5 weeks in, oh, there's just too much with Shador. Huh? What? There's just too much noise. That's not why they're 1-4. They're 1-4 because they're crap.
Yeah, you're not 1-4 because he pantomimed.
Like I just
like I'm sorry, guys.
I didn't
which,
honestly.
Which everyone else made it way too big a deal of.
With 100% agree. But I don't understand Jason's point at all that they should just move on because they can't handle it. I get it that a fifth round pick has long odds, and just thinking of Shador as just a fifth round pick is absolutely part of the Shahader playbook. I'm not saying Jason's thinking that, but I'm just saying if you go to letter law, I get it with the fifth round pick. There's no surprises here. We knew that people be talking a lot about Shador. So the idea that you get in, it's like, oh, there's so much noise around him. Uh-huh.
Well, and that's also the part of me that thinks, again, reason number 12 million that we don't need to, that it was Haslam and not Stefanski and Barry, is because Haslam does love the noise. Haslam likes to be talked about. I look at him like Jerry Jr., you know, like he is Jerry Jones light in many ways. And so like there's a part of him that he likes all the national conversation that's happening over the previous few weeks around this football team. Cause you know what? If you didn't have Shador right now, nobody would be talking about the Browns in general at all from a national perspective.
Michael in Canton, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Nikki Biggs Wilson, a voice from the Wayback Machine, Fader, West Market Street, Akron.
What's up, my guy?
You are spot on, brother. This whole thing about Stefanski not being able to handle personalities, they should have ran his ass out of town before they ran Baker out of town. The night Baker planted that flag at the Horseshoe in Columbus, I said to my son, who might have been 13 at the time, that's the guy. That's the guy the Browns need to go get. He said, are you out of your mind? What an a-hole this guy is. Why would they want him? I said, that's the kind of chutzpah and stones it's going to take to rescue the most bereft franchise in the last 50 years in Cleveland. They had him. They let him get away because Stefanski got his feelings hurt that the kid not only knew more about offense than him, but he'd already put up big numbers as a rookie under Freddie Kitchens before Stefanski ever got there. Think about personalities, and I hate to switch sports on you. Look at what Grover did in those glory days of the Indians when he had guys like Kenny Lofton, Albert Bell, Baerga, and, of course, our shortstop, Vizquel. He had all those personalities in one clubhouse and was able to manage it and succeed. Stefanski had one quarterback, and if I have to hear one more time that he was too immature to handle it, he was a 23-year-old kid that was having huge success at the NFL level. Yeah, that might give you a big head.
Fader, it's good to hear, brother. Thank you so much.
Much love.
Very good man there. So here's
why didn't you put Fader in the chat instead of Michael?
Because only I know that's a nickname for Mike.
Now we all know, though. You use the nickname. Now we all know.
Well, I wouldn't have known if he hadn't said Fader.
You're the only one that reads the chat, though. If he would have just called in and said Fader, you're the exact person that would have
really
been good for.
Now we're really going to get super confusing because that's the call screener, and you referred to it as a chat, and then I referred to the chat as a super chat, and now my eyes are cross-eyed.
Too many chats.
This being said, that actually is the quintessential, the thing that I think Mike was hitting at and that I think you and I are both hitting at is I actually think Kevin does need somebody who is anti-Kevin. I don't think Kevin's a great natural leader. I don't think he's a naturally great communicator. And that's what Baker was. And I'll tell you this. I think it's what Shador can be. I'm talking about as a communicator and as a leader. Because I do think he has personality. I do think he relates to this town. And I think Baker was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the Baker-Shador comparisons, even though it's not a perfect one-for-one, if you can't learn your lesson from Baker Mayfield, I'm not trying to be literal here, but get the hell out of my town.
The similarities between Baker and Shador always amaze me because they really are. They're very, very, they're rampant is what it is. And then the through line is there. And it's funny. Yesterday I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I remember the last time I really got like criticized for loving a player. Like, the last time I really got criticized for just loving and going in on a player, it was when you were gone and I was here at the station. I was the only one that loved Baker. And it felt like it was just me against the entire station when it came to Baker. And then it's like, it took 4 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, we were right on that one. And it feels in a very similar way that way with Shador in many regards too. And it's just, I'd love to do a study, like a case study, as to why people like myself are attached to both Baker and Shador. And I think it's a lot of the intangibles. I think it's a lot of the leadership. I think it's a lot of those things that Stefanski was scared of that I tend to swerve to.
216-474-0092. After you heard the Jason Lloyd clip, do you think the Browns are living in their own fears with Shador? But the Browns, Shador, Jackson Dart, Dylan Gabriel, and the not-so-subtle art of recency bias in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.